In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We seem to spend most of our lives, whether it's in our workplace, in our schools, universities, sometimes even in our homes, we seem to spend most of our time thinking about how people are different to us, rather than how they could be similar. We look at what divides us rather than what brings us together. I know this expression has become very cliche, and I myself am sometimes quite bored of it. But when used in the right way, in the right context, it is actually the reality of what we are living. If God, in his infinite wisdom and power, were to only look at us and see what separated us from him, we would never have been saved. If he looked at himself as the divine being, the creator, pure, perfect, and looked at us as the created falling beings that we had become, he would never have come to save us. But in the act of the incarnation, God looked deep within. He looked into each and every one of us. And although we had been corrupted, although we had fallen, although we were broken, he looked at the depth of the creation that he had created by himself and saw the core of who we are. The image and the likeness that he created. And it is that that he came to restore. He not only looked at what was similar, he did more. He took the little bit that was similar, worked on it, approached it, and then took that which was defiled, the body, the physical part of us, the sinful, and he glorified it. He made it more like him by making himself in the incarnation like us. He took our humanity, the brokenness of who we are, and he sanctified it. I wish people would stop saying, "Let us look at what we have in common rather than what separates us," because it does become boring when it's overused, and especially when it's not meant, especially when it's part of rhetoric, especially when it's just said to numb nerves and to quiet tempers. But actually, if we used it as our daily ethos in our lives, as our principle, if we used it as the way in which we focus, then we will find ourselves being more like God and more like his image. If we were to look at people and say, "I relate to the humanity in you," first of all, I see the godliness in you, because I know God created you as he created me. I know that you are his image and likeness as I am his image and likeness. But although I see that and I recognize it and I love it, I also see your brokenness. And I also realize that that is the brokenness I have as well. Your sins are my sins. Your weaknesses are my weaknesses. And if I look at others in that way, it will be so much easier to forgive. So much easier to love. So much easier to accept others. What separates us from others is our inability to deal with variety. I can't deal with the fact that you're different to me, and so I reject you. We have this concept, and it's a concept we see in children and in adolescents, When you look at a group of adolescents together, and we've joked about this in the past, they will all tell you they're very different and they're very separate and they're very opinionated and they're very, very strong. But they'll all dress exactly the same. The story of the chinos, I still remember. Because there is this idea that we must be the same to be able to get along. But actually, it's not true at all. Because there is a sameness about us, there is a similarity about us that is deep within. The godliness in us, the godly image and likeness that we can all relate to. It's terrible watching the news these days, seeing huge pain, anxiety, unimaginable suffering. So when we read our Bibles and we read that we are told to love those who persecute us, can we transform that into our emotions when we're watching the news? When we see a terrorist act, whether it's local or it's somewhere else in the world, when we see an act of violence, am I able to practice the Christianity that my Lord has taught me and love those people? Can I love terrorist fighters in Egypt, in Iraq, in Syria? Can I love a man who holds a city hostage in Sydney? Can I love people who go into a school and indiscriminately kill innocent children? Because you know what? As impossible as that sounds, that is what our scriptures speak about. That is why we as a church in Egypt, as Christians in Egypt, have survived until today. We've been persecuted for centuries. We don't have victims, but it is a price we pay for our faith. Are we willing to pay that price with joy? With thanksgiving even, which makes the impossible even more impossible. You see, it's easy to find reasons to hate. Very easy. We can look at each other and catalog reasons to hate and reject one another. Much more difficult to find reasons to love and to forgive. To look at the real humanity within us, in our own homes, in our own friendships, in our own relationships, in our communities, in our families. Are we willing to do what our Lord has done in His incarnation, in the Nativity, in this feast we are ready to celebrate, when we say that He came and took our flesh, took our nature, to sanctify us, to bless us? And having come and done that, and ascending to the cross, being crucified, still being able to look down and say, Father, forgive them. You see, that's the target we're given. That's the goal we're meant to achieve. If you're going to say that we're going to achieve it through our own human ability, it is impossible. We can't do it. It doesn't work. Because our humanity is far too unforgiving. Our humanity is much more cruel. But if we look at the godliness within us, and it is within all of us, I don't care what you've done, I don't care what life you've lived, I don't care how bad you think you are, there is a godly part of you that God created and you can do nothing about. You can't extinguish that flame. That flame lives deep within. And it is that flame, that godliness, that divine power within us that allows us to do the apparently impossible. So today's gospel says to us that those who are not against us are with us. So let's use that as a starting point. But the reality is we are asked much, much more than that. If we are asked to love our enemies, then surely we should be able to cope with those who annoy us. Those who maybe don't do everything we want. Those who say the wrong thing, admittedly. Those who are a little bit selfish at times. Those who may not always put us first. Surely we must look beyond that and see ourselves in them. The godliness of ourselves, but also the brokenness in ourselves, that we may glorify God and we may forgive for the sake of He who said that we must do to others as we would have Him do to us. The forgiveness, the love, the promise, the salvation that He has given us, that at least asks us to be as close to Him as possible and as close to His image as we can possibly be in this life. Glory be to God forever. Amen.